Hi, everybody, and welcome to Toro Sports Talks. I'm your host, Peter Toro. Today is Wednesday, June 26th. Let's get started. The U.S. Women's National Team beat Spain in their round of 16 knockout match yesterday to advance to the quarterfinals against France. The U.S. beat Spain 2-1. Megan Rapinoe, captain of the Women's National Team, scored two goals. They were both penalty kicks for the United States against Spain. Spain scored one goal from Jennifer Hermoso off of a mistake from Alyssa Nahar and Becky Sauerbrunn, who had a little miscommunication in the back off a goal kick, and it led to a change of possession right in front of goal, and Jennifer Hermoso and Spain were able to capitalize on that and score the first goal against the U.S. defense. The women's national team yesterday was really put to a tough test against Spain. Spain has easily been the toughest competition that the U.S. has faced all World Cup. This only gets harder because the big game is Friday. The U.S. will be playing France in the quarterfinal. This is easily the biggest game in U.S. women's soccer history, and it easily could be the biggest game in U.S. soccer history. This game, it's the two titans of the sport going at each other in the quarterfinal match. And, you know, people are going to be a little upset, I think, that this isn't later in the tournament, but that's just how the bracket worked out in having France and the U.S. both on the same side of the bracket for the World Cup. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in this game, because both teams are just, they're going to go at you for full 90 minutes, relentless attack. Both have endless attacking options, with the U.S. having Alex Morgan, Tobin Heath, and Megan Rapinoe up top. France has equally as many dangerous people and attackers on their team and weapons at their disposal, with Amandine Henry, who put France ahead of Brazil to send France into this knockout game in the quarterfinal round. France was put to the test against Brazil, who was a very talented team, and it took France to break through in the 107th minute to break from a 1-1 tie from Amandine Henry, from winger Madri, to send in the ball and send France into the quarterfinal match. So this is going to be a heck of a match. Both teams are going to be put to the test. It's already, ticket prices are insane for any game, but especially for the women's side, it's great to see a ticket as high as $11,000 for the match on Friday in France. The game is going to be in Paris, so obviously it's a home field advantage for France, but the Americans have traveled well in this World Cup, and every single game has been sold out. This match is already sold out. It's going to be, this is the largest soccer match in women's history. And this is just, hopefully it just continues to happen to the point where every single match with this kind of magnitude for the sport, whether, you know, it's USA, France, or that kind of thing, when two big teams like this meet up in a World Cup, it's going to continue to be the next biggest game in women's soccer. And 35 million people in Brazil, just in Brazil alone, tuned into the France-Brazil game, which smashed the record for most watched in a country for a women's soccer game. So that's awesome to see. This France and U.S. soccer game is going to be that next one that people talk about, because this is the biggest game. Everyone's talking about it. Megan Rapinoe already has been quoted on this and said that she hopes that it's just a total shit show media circus. And that's what it's going to be, because these teams are so talented and have so much promise, and both teams are essentially expected to win the World Cup, and they're meeting in a quarterfinal. So one of these teams is going home after this, and it's just going to be insane. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to watch it. I'm going to do a full post-game analysis on that game. Expect to see that probably Saturday, but this is the largest game in World Cup history. Other tickets for the same quarterfinal match, England-Norway, are around $37 is the average ticket price. For the U.S.-France game, it's about $2,000 in Paris. So that shows you how much the demand is for this. game in particular, and it's great to see, and I can't wait to watch the game. In other World Cup news, the Netherlands will advance to their quarterfinal match against Italy. Italy has been the surprise of the tournament as they beat China 2-0 in their game. They had that game pretty much in hand. China was able to force a lot of chances in that match, but they weren't able to get anything into the back of the net. For the Netherlands, Netherlands beat Japan 2-1. In the 90th minute, they forced a penalty kick off a handball in the box. Enrique Martins, who is the standout player for the Netherlands, she's one of the most talented players in this entire tournament and the world, she was able to step up to the penalty spot and send the Netherlands to the knockout round against Italy. Enrique Martins also had a fantastic goal, and in my opinion, the goal of the tournament, with a little back heel off the and a meg through the defender off a corner kick to score the Netherlands' first goal. The other quarterfinal matches that will be happening this weekend are Germany and Sweden. Germany is the number two team in this tournament and will be facing Sweden, who was able to beat Canada 1-0. England was able to take Cameroon handedly in a 3-0 match in a very strange game where Cameroon disputed each call from VAR that was made on goals and disallowed one goal, and Cameroon players were very visibly upset and even revolted against their own manager and started fighting with referees and exchanging verbal altercations with the referees as well as their own manager. The African Federation of Soccer has already said that they will try to do an investigation and come down with repercussions for those players. England will be facing Norway, who beat Australia in penalties. Norway shocked Australia, beating them in penalties 4-1 in a 1-1 tie. Australia, in my opinion, had the best player in this tournament with Sam Kerr. However, Sam Kerr was not enough as she missed the penalty in extra time to send Australia to the quarterfinals. Norway was able to beat them with their stout defense and will play England in their quarterfinal matchup. In other sports news, the WNBA All-Star Game is right around the corner as the WNBA is reaching its midway point through the season. It's easier than ever to vote for the WNBA. All you have to do is Google WNBA 2019 All-Star Vote to pick your favorite players to send to Las Vegas for this year's All-Star Game. This leads into our next topic of who the best WNBA team has been all year, and that is Connecticut Sun, who are 9-2 so far on this season. They had a 7-game winning streak come to an end against the Chicago Sky the other day. Jonquel Jones has been the player to watch for Connecticut. She has won Player of the Week for 3 straight weeks in a row up until this week. She is the first player in Connecticut Sun history to have achieved that. Through 9 games this season, Jonquel Jones has averaged 12 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, and over 17 points a game. Offensively, Connecticut compete with just about anyone when they're on. They have so much depth to their team with Jonquel Jones down low, able to get so many easy baskets and make defenders look silly. Also, though, they have point guard Courtney Williams, who is able to create a lot of space and beat defenders off the dribble and create lanes for herself to score or to dish it to players like Jonquel Jones. Another standout player for Connecticut has been Alyssa Thomas, who plays like another big despite her lack of size. Her ability to beat defenders down low and create space for Jonquel Jones has been truly amazing this year. Connecticut has several weapons available, including the emergence of Shakina Strickland, who last year averaged just over 6 points, but this year is averaging over 10. She's been huge shooting the ball from deep. She's shooting over 40% from beyond the arc this year. With Strickland's ability to stretch the defense and MVP candidate Jonquel Jones playing how she is, this offense for Connecticut has the ability to go the entire way, especially with the lack of stars playing in this season's WNBA, with stars like Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, Maya Moore, and Breanna Stewart all out for injury. Now, this brings up the topic of discussion for today of the Breanna Stewart injury, because, you know, the Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, and Maya Moore, is taking time off to focus on her personal health and mental health. Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird both had off-season surgeries, and they'll be back later in the season. So that kind of opened the door for Connecticut's emergence into being the top team this season, despite trading who many think was their number one player in Shinea Gumake, who they traded to Los Angeles. But nevertheless, Connecticut has been just absolutely on fire and opened up their best start in franchise history at 8-1. So this leads into the topic of discussion for the Breanna Stewart injury and why she got injured. Breanna Stewart tore her Achilles this past winter playing for Russia overseas in the Women's European League for basketball. And it's sad to see her injured because the entire reason why she was playing in Russia is because of the pay disparity in the WNBA. Now, this is huge because none of the players in the WNBA make more than $115,000. The lowest eight paid NBA players make just over $800,000. Now, the bigger issue is that the WNBA players recognize that they don't want to be paid the same as men. Rather, they want to adopt the same system that the NBA has. Currently, the WNBA only pays players approximately 25% of the revenue that the league generates, where the men in the NBA get around 50%. The WNBA players just want an even split of the money that is offered for them that they're currently not getting. The WNBA does not make the revenue deals public, so the numbers are just a rough estimate. However, according to a source, a conservative figure for the revenue of the WNBA is around $60 million. If the league average is the league average for the WNBA is currently under $80,000, and the maximum salary is right at around $115,000. If the WNBA adopted the same principle as the NBA with the 50% revenue split as the men, the average would be raised to $191,000 and a maximum salary of $670,000. The problem that the wage gap presents for the WNBA has not been able to retain their best players with the Breanna Stewart injury. The WNBA is home to plenty of talent, but that talent must go overseas to get paid when they see fit for their work. Diana Taurasi is regarded as one of, if not the best basketball players to ever live, but she had to play overseas in order to get paid. This does not allow time. With players having virtually no offseason between the European Women's League and the WNBA, it puts the women at risk for more injuries. This is exactly what happened to Breanna Stewart, who tore her Achilles while playing in Russia this past season. The larger issue is the NBA is losing their best player and one of their main draws to have people tune into their games. If they want people to watch the product, which is a good product, the Connecticut Sun have been a very talented and fun team to watch this entire season, along with several other teams in the WNBA. However, the harsh reality is that the league will continue to lose talented players to injuries and lose their talent if nothing is done to change what the players earn. If players continue to earn more overseas than in the U.S., then those players will continue to leave the WNBA, and the WNBA will struggle to have any growth in their system. Having so many of these stars injured is not a good look for the WNBA. There's not a whole lot you can do about the Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird. They're older players. The WNBA has relied on them for several seasons and for several years, and they're going to get hurt. I get that. They're going to need surgery. Maya Moore, you can't do anything about her wanting to take time off. However, her wanting to take time off has a direct relation to how much she gets paid. If she doesn't find it worth it to herself to go and get paid $115,000 to play a season in which she doesn't know if she's mentally able to, why would she? She has deals. She has, endorsement deals where she makes her own money. But that's separate. All those deals are separate from what the WNBA actually pays players. So it's the same deal for Breanna Stewart. If she has to go overseas to get paid money, they're going to lose more players to overseas, and then the product of the WNBA will never flourish. And it's sad. It's sad to see because the WNBA has plenty of talented players. They have talented teams. It's a good product on the court. And people always talk about, oh, it's the product. They don't deserve to get paid. They do deserve to get paid. Pay them the same split as the NBA pays, and people will be happier, and you'll be able to retain more players in the league without having them to go overseas to increase their chance of injury. With all that being said, it's a very exciting time in women's sports between the Women's World Cup and the WNBA and how great the league, both the tournament and the league, has been this year. I'll do a full recap of the France and United States game after Friday, so stay tuned for that. As always, thank you so much for listening. This is Toro Sports Talks, and I'm Peter Toro.